Good morning. This morning's scripture is from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." This is God's word for us today. You may be seated.
I told you that we have a special guest today. We actually have a couple of special guests. So for many years, Grace Community Church has partnered with J-Life, an organization in Africa. And the mission of J-Life is to make disciple makers, which is awesome because we also want to be a church that makes disciple makers. And so we're going to invite John Abramsa, not Abramse, but John Abramsa, and he's going to come and he's going to speak to us this morning along with some of his friends, and we're going to just pray for him. Actually, can you guys come up as well, Mluwe and Jeremy? I want to pray for you guys. We're going to start this morning with prayer. We should always start with prayer, but we're going to start with praying for our field staff, and you're going to get some introductions here in a moment. But let's just pray for them as full-time missionaries in a variety of countries in Africa, not just on the continent broadly, but in specific countries to specific peoples. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these men. Thank you for the families and the workers that they represent across the continent of Africa. God, we ask that you would bless them not only today as they speak to us from your word, but in every day. Lord, as they carry the mission with their wives, with their children, with their partners in the gospel, again, across the continent, Lord, there are many different peoples, many different nations in Africa that need you. They all do, Lord, but they need you more and more as we see the day approaching. That's true for us here, Lord. Help us hear from you today, from these men. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. We pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, and thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you again. Josh, let's be honest. If the advert to come on Friday night is you dancing, it's a bad adverts. It was scary. I've never seen somebody that dances worse than I do, but last night I did. And so I'd suggest if he's offering that as an appeal, there are better entertainments out there. Okay. It's wonderful to be with you again. Your church has partnered with J-Life it goes back into the early 2000s, and we just want to thank you. We started in South Africa, and we have just seen God grow the work. We are now working in 41 countries across Africa in some way or other, and you might never have been there. Some of you have, but you might never have been there, but you have had an impact on the work across Africa. And so we want to thank you. Now that that's over, I'd love us to jump into what the Lord wants to say to us this morning. And our big focus is taking ground for the kingdom, taking ground in every tribe and every nation across the world. I've often looked at this passage that Lynette read for us so nicely, and I've reflected on the passage, and for the first time a little while ago, something stuck out to me that I've never noticed before. What word appears most in that passage? Okay, not small words, main word. I'm not an English major, but not and or the. But what key word appears as Jesus is answering this teacher of the law? Okay, love, Lord. Okay, I see Lord often in this passage. And as Jesus is answering this question, this is in Jesus' last 5 days before he goes to the cross. He's been battered by these religious leaders. They're trying to find a way to crucify Jesus. And they come with one of the last questions asked of Jesus. And Jesus starts by again, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God." I think as I've looked at my growth as a Christian and as I look at the general culture of the church, when we respond to the call to come into God's family, many respond to Jesus as Savior. While we are called to respond to Him as Lord and Savior. We respond because we want to get into heaven. Are you getting this? And we miss the Lordship of Jesus over our lives. You know, when Jesus came, we read right at the beginning of his ministry in Mark chapter 1 verse 15, it says this, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." Jesus says, "Repent and believe in the gospel." From that moment, Matthew says that Jesus began to preach the kingdom. The kingdom is at hand. We will fast forward a little bit and we'll go into Acts. And Jesus, throughout his life, is preaching about this kingdom where there is a Lord. He's preaching the gospel. And throughout Jesus' ministry, he's preaching this good news about the cross, about salvation into heaven. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom that had come. And then he is crucified, he's buried, he's raised from the dead, and he appears again to his disciples. And we read in Acts chapter 1 verse 3, he presented himself alive to them after suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days. And what does he do? He speaks about the kingdom of God. And his disciples will ask him just a little while later, when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, when will..." Sorry, I'm battling between a screen in front of me and a screen in behind me. And so let me focus on the one in front, okay? So when they came together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They had a misunderstanding after Jesus' whole time with him, speaking about this kingdom. They had a misunderstanding of what the kingdom was. They were hoping that Jesus would restore Israel to its heyday when David was king. And the kingdom had expanded and many nations had come under their rule and their dominion. They were hoping that the Messiah, the Savior, was going to come and restore the kingdom. And this for them was good news, that there would be an earthly reign and a rule across the world. Now, understand this about tribes, okay? Now, I come from Africa. And there are many tribes all over Africa. And we can understand five things about tribes. The first is this, that there is a chief or a king. Anybody heard of Swaziland? Okay, it's called Eswatini now. There is a king in Swaziland. Okay? And he rules over the tribe of the Swazi people. Okay? Number one, there is a king. Secondly, he rules. Thirdly, he rules over a people. And fourthly, what he says happens. The king of Swaziland, about a year ago, just decided we are changing our name. We will now be called Eswatini. And so the whole world now has to align because the king said we will change our name. Okay? What he says goes in a kingdom. And we notice throughout history under the Romans, under the Greeks, under the Persians, under the Babylonians, kingdoms are always about taking ground. Even across Africa and where we live, over the history of Africa, kingdoms would conquer one tribe and they'd bring them under them, and they would always be about extending their reign. And I love what an author in America says. He says, understand this about the kingdom of God. Okay? When Jesus comes, he comes to establish the fact that there is a king. Are you getting this? Not Caesar, not David. There is a king. Who is this king? Jesus. Let's try that again. Who is this king? This is a Sunday school answer. It's quite easy, okay? You remember when you didn't know it, you just go,
Jesus.
There is a king. This king reigns. He reigns over everything. He reigned before the formation of the world. He reigns. He reigns over a redeemed people, okay, that have been scattered over all the tribes, and Jesus has gone and redeemed them into his kingdom. These people do his will. They exist to do his will, and in doing his will, what happens? What happens? We take ground. Acts chapter 1, Jesus will say to his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Okay? Now we're talking kingdom. Will you restore the kingdom of David? And Jesus says, you're getting it wrong again. It's not about that kingdom. You will receive power to be my witnesses. And that word comes from the word martyr. In other words, you will even die to be a part of my kingdom. To be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to every nation, to every tribe, to every people groups. Here's the fact. We are part of a tribe. Okay? We are part of a tribe. Let me explain it differently. Okay? And go back into history. Young people, I'm sorry. I've got to take you into history class quickly. Okay? Go back 175 years before Jesus comes. The Greeks had just conquered the world and they had set up all dominions all over, and there's a king that comes and his name's Antiochus Epiphanes, and he conquers Jerusalem and they come under a new kingdom. Their freedom again is taken away. Come out of Babylon, back to Jerusalem. They think we're going to get our kingdom again. But now they get conquered by the Greeks. Then they get conquered by this chap. His name, Antiochus Epiphanes. They get conquered by him. Antiochus puts in rule in Jerusalem a priest by the name of Jason. And Jason, while Antiochus is in Egypt, conquering another kingdom, taking ground, Jason rises up and forms a revolt, and they rebel against him. Antiochus comes back. He literally puts down the rebellion. He decides, I'm not even going to let you have any of your Jewish customs or rules. He stops the worship of God. He establishes an altar to Zeus, and they sacrifice to Zeus in the temple. The Jews are going, no! 4 or 5 years later, we have another guy that comes on the scene for the Jews, and his name is Judas Maccabees. You've heard of the Maccabees? Okay? The Hasmonean Empire starts with Judas, who comes in. They destroy the ruling power over their area. They establish the temple again, and they are liberated by Judas. And they live for 100 years under the Jewish kingdom. And in their minds, well, maybe this is the Messiah. But what happens? Who knows what comes next? The Romans come next. 100 years later, the Romans come in and conquer them, and they are under somebody else's rule again. And over and over and over, this is what happens to Israel. And slowly they are going, well, was Jason our Messiah? No, he wasn't, because it didn't last all that long. We're not back to where we were with David. Well, was Judas our Messiah? No, it wasn't. And so now the time was right. They were looking for a Messiah to come, a king to come. And Jesus comes. And he establishes and inaugurates a kingdom that would not manifest itself in geographical territory. It would not just be in Israel, but it would be the reign of God in man's hearts. It wouldn't be confined to different territories globally, but it would spread. It would spread this good news. Good news that God created man for more than we live today. Good news that brings peace and justice. Good news that is about love, joy, kindness, self-control. Good news that would permeate every culture around the world. It would have small beginnings, and Jesus spoke about it as a mustard seed. But as that kingdom permeated every tribe and every nation, it would bring change, because there is a king that reigns. And this king was establishing his reign in man's heart. A kingdom that starts now. A kingdom that is now but not yet. A kingdom that would reign in the hearts of men and would permeate society around them. And a kingdom that would come when Jesus eventually returned. And this kingdom started growing, and we see that within 2 years, the church had filled Jerusalem. Within 4.5 years, scripture tells us that the church was multiplying themselves out of Jerusalem. Within 19 years, the gospel, this good news of a kingdom, not an earthly kingdom, where rulers are corrupt, where rulers would oppress their people, where rulers, we had a king, and this gospel had been preached all over the known world. And in 28 years later, it was still being preached and bearing fruit. And we see that by the 4th century, it was about 10% of the Roman Empire. Are you seeing how the nations were encountering this good news that was in people's hearts, and the kingdom was expanding? The church, people living under the king, were so beautifully attractive that people will be drawn to it. And as we think of you going into your workplace, people are being drawn to that kingdom because you are under a different king. Right late in the 4th century, Emperor Julian says this as he looked at the church. He said, and I'm going to read it, atheism, and he was speaking of Christians because they only had one God. The Romans had many gods, and so they sort of said, you know, Christians, they've got one God, so they're atheists. Atheism has been specially advancing through the loving service rendered to strangers. This is a different kingdom. And through their care for the burial of the dead. It is a scandal that the godless Gentiles care not only for their own poor, but for us as well. While those who belong to us in vain, while those who belong to us look in vain for the help that we should render them. He'd go on to say that as Roman pagans, they needed to learn from the Christian community and start doing what they did. This was the kingdom that was being established, a beautiful kingdom that was taking ground. As we live under the reign and rule of Jesus, his reign and rule goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where there was peace, where there was enough for everybody, where everybody lived as equal under the king. That's what the church brings to every tribe and every nation. We are not part of the kingdoms of this world. In fact, Revelation says that one day all of those kingdoms will become the kingdoms of our God and our King. And Jesus tells you and I as we live every single day, pray this prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And who brings that? Who is taking ground? Hello? Is the accent a bit? No, not Jesus. You and I. Jesus through you and I. Because we live as citizens of his kingdom. Citizens, not of the Democrats or the Republicans. Oh, don't bring politics in. Citizens of his kingdom, where we are peacemakers, where there is love, where there is joy, where there is kindness, that people come across us and they're not seeing us proclaiming a different kingdom. They see us bringing his kingdom into every sphere of our lives. And so what does this look like? I want Jeremy and I, we're in a tag team, to give you some practical ways that you take ground for the kingdom. We're going to look at it in three areas. How do you take ground? Through your time. Using your time. Because one day you stand before the king. And he says to you, either, well done, my good and faithful servant. Or he says, what did you use your time for? What did you use your talent for? And what did you use your treasure for?
Thanks, John. Good morning, everybody. Let's just take a moment and bring our hearts before the Lord, as we seek to apply the teaching of God's word to our lives. Would you pray with me? Father, we posture ourselves as subjects of the King. We reverence you, your majesty. And we say, Lord, even now as we seek to apply your lordship to our lives again. Speak to us by your Spirit. May your rule and your reign permeate our hearts and our lives. We ask that you would break in with the power of your majesty. Break in with your rule and your reign. Break into the areas of our lives that are not yet submitted to your lordship. Invade those spaces. Change the way we think. Change the way we live. And may our lives bring glory to the King of all nations. Speak to us by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, John. So, three areas where we want to apply the truths of the King and His coming kingdom, the reign of our King. And this is where it tends to get a little bit confusing, I think, sometimes, because when we think about taking ground, does that mean we need to all go to the nations and take ground? Every nation, people, tribe and tongue. And if we can't go there, then let's pray for those who are going, and let's support those who are going so that they can take ground and all the nations can come to know Jesus. Is it all external and far away? Or is it like John was saying, when the King comes and he rules over our hearts. So my heart needs to change and my heart needs to submit. And maybe, yes, the first disciples got it wrong. They thought that Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, would come to establish this physical, earthly, political kingdom. But actually, he came to change their hearts. So maybe it's just about a heart change. And maybe I just need to live a more, you know, godly life. Be nice, be kind, smile more. Maybe it's all internal. Or maybe it's all external. Or maybe it's both. Maybe it's both. Maybe the kingdom is, as Jesus said, it's like yeast or like a mustard seed that starts small internally below the surface and eventually expands to take ground in all the earth. But let's begin small. Let's begin with me. What does it mean for the kingdom to come in me? Well, let's go back to Jesus. Jesus is the best example of someone who received in his humanity, he received these gifts from the Father. Gifts of time, of treasure, and of talents. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every gift that is good and perfect is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And Jesus received these gifts of time, talent, and treasure. And then he shows us how to live with those gifts in a way that pleases the Father. The God-given gifts that Jesus, as the Son, received from the Heavenly Father was how he demonstrated the kingdom of God. And so what can we learn from this? Well, firstly, how did Jesus use his time to advance the kingdom of heaven? Let's think about this for you. How do you use your time to advance the kingdom of God on earth? What are some of the things that takes up your time from day to day? You can shout out some things to me. I heard someone say work. What else? Devotion. Who said devotion? You are a very godly man, sir. Anyone else? So work and devotion, that's all you do with your time here? Children, family, what else? School, what else? Work out, exercise, that's good. What else? There we go. I was wondering if the truth will be spoken in the presence of the King. Maybe it's more of an African phenomena. We tend to spend, maybe you don't have that technology here. We spend a lot of time on little things like this that have great power over us. Okay, what else? Someone said work. There's a lot of work. Someone said work again. You're working two jobs, three jobs. Okay. Say that again. Kids, children. Games. Yes. And you can see some of those things up there. How did Jesus spend his time in a way that actually advanced the kingdom of God? And I just want to go, I'm skipping some slides here just for time's sake. When we look at Jesus, we see that he consistently devotes himself to God in times of being alone with God. It's what we mean by solitude. And also times of intimacy with God. So when you read passages like Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it seems to paint this picture of a recurring pattern of Jesus regularly getting up, moving out, making a sacrifice to be alone with his Father. We see that Jesus spends a lot of time always from a young age being about his Father's things. It's interesting when Luke states this about the young Jesus who his mother, Mary, and Joseph found in the temple. They were confused because he was sitting in the presence of the Lord with the teachers, asking them questions and having a discussion around the things of God. He said to them, did you not know that I have to be about my father's business? But in the original writing of the New Testament, there's no word after the word father. It's implied, my father's. Did you not know that I had to be about my father's, the things that belong to my father? And my father is the father of lights who's over all things and over all nations. I need to be about the things that belong to my father. Jesus also spent a lot of time, not just with his father, but also with his followers, his disciples. He did not only spend time preaching to the crowds, like we are doing here now, but he spent time investing into the handful of disciples that the father gave him, pouring his life into them, teaching them the truths of the kingdom. But not only did Jesus spend time with his disciples, he also spent time with others. Others who were not his disciples. Others who were not yet his disciples. Others who were not accepted by the social circle that Jesus was part of. Outcasts, like the tax collectors or the prostitutes. He often spent time with others who were not like him, even those who were not Jews, a Samaritan woman, a Syrophoenician woman. Jesus spent time with those who were not like him. And yet in all of this, he never appeared rushed, he never appeared stressed, and he had time for things that interrupted him. Do we have margin in our lives for the king's things to break in and interrupt us? All the while being fully present and being intentional in all we do. This is what we see modeled for us in the life of Jesus. And in all these things, he was a wellspring of kingdom life that brought the reign of God into the world. Jesus was effective in spending time with God. Being about his father's things and in spending time with others. Who's sitting around your table? Are you sitting with the Lord? are you sitting with his followers? And I'm not talking about this. This is not a table. I'm talking about an actual table where you can have intimacy with the Father, intimacy with others, community with others, where people can get to know you and you can get to know them. Other believers who can build you up. There are certain things that the King wants to deposit into us that will not happen here. It will only happen around the table. Who's around your table? And are there people around that table that don't look like you, don't think like you, don't speak like you, maybe even don't believe like you? Who are the unbelievers around that table? Are there people around that table who don't earn like you or don't have what you have? Are they around your table or are they just out there in the distance? Lord, help us to give our time to you, submitting it to your rule and your reign. In Jesus' name.
You know, we Africans, we ignore time when it comes to preaching. And so we've got 5 minutes left. We're going to have to speed this up. That's 5 minutes, 30 seconds, 29, 28. So what does it look like around your treasure? You know, the pursuit of success has become the king of the West. You agree with that? Okay, because we just want more. We think that if I have more, I'm going to be more satisfied. What does it look like in the kingdom? Jesus said, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. If Jesus, we wear those bands, what would Jesus do? If Jesus was in our culture today and he looked at how we prioritize our resources for the sake of his kingdom, what would he say? Who would he say we are serving? I just love reading the book of Acts and just seeing how, you know, after Jesus releases him to expand his kingdom, to bring his kingdom on earth, we see that all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone that had need. I mean, this is using kingdom resource for kingdom advancement. Later on in Acts chapter 4, it will go, scripture goes on to say, there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sale and put it at the feet of the apostles, and it was distributed to everyone who had need. I wonder about our treasures today. I wonder about the paradigm shift that has to happen for us to live under the King. A paradigm shift that needs to be, Lord, all this is yours. Okay? The job I've been given is because the King has provided it. So anything that comes from it is yours. The question isn't how much do I give, but how much do I keep back for my living, my world? And how much do I actually invest to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? Time, treasure. Jeremy will pick up on the last one, and we've got 2 minutes. He's a real African. Well, half. We kind of go half.
You're taking my time. And you're not very talented at doing so. I just, sorry, I couldn't resist that. Let's talk about talent. Sorry for the typo. John did the slides. I'm just going to take liberties here. When we talk about time, it's a gift from God. Treasure is a gift from God. Our talents are obviously our gifts from God. And God has uniquely designed each of us to be ourselves for His kingdom's sake. So we want to give you a little tool. I'm just for time's sake going to put it all up here. It's a bit of an acronym or a backronym, however you want to see it. Impact. How do you make a powerful impact for taking ground, advancing God's kingdom from right where you are to the ends of the earth? Well, how about looking at how God has uniquely wired you and shaped you through His gifts to you, but also through how life has formed you? Your interests, what are they? You are not interested in the same things that others are. There's a reason why God has placed these things in your life. Have you checked your feed lately? Where are you spending most of your time? Maybe not everything is a time waster. Maybe there's something that you're interested in that God can use to advance His kingdom. Your gifts, the ministry gifts, the spiritual gifts that God has given you are tools to advance His kingdom. Your past experiences, for better or for worse, they have shaped you and formed you. They make us who we are. The abilities that God has given you, natural abilities, technical abilities, abilities that have come through your education, courses, things that you've learned over the years. How might God want to use all of that? And lastly, your temperament, your unique personality. I talk with my hands, so this is very inhibiting. What is your temperament? What is your personality? And how might God want to use all of that to take ground? Don't bury the talent He has given you, because when He comes, He wants to see you multiply what He has invested in you. God may be calling you to take ground by serving Him for some full time, but for all of us, it's full time on assignment, on mission, because we are all called to be missionaries for the King who take ground in every area of life.
And so the Africans are going to finish on time. No, they're not. It's 0000000. It's on time. And so as you look at it, I want to finish by going, there is a King. Who are you submitted to? Who are you submitted to? What kingdom are you under? A religious kingdom? Well, you do your church thing on a Sunday, hopefully to get into heaven one day. That's not this kingdom. A secular kingdom. You're doing well in the world. And maybe there's a little bit of God there. Jesus came to establish a kingdom that has been established now in my heart, in my sphere of influence. And it will eventually come to full completion when the King returns. There is a King who reigns over redeemed people who do His will, and they are taking ground through their time, their treasure, and their talent. I give it all back to You, Jesus. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank You that the gospel You came to preach is good news for the poor, for the oppressed, for the depressed, for the anxious, for those who have made other kingdoms their God and King, because In all of that, there's hopelessness. But Jesus, you are the hope of the world. Thank you that as you establish your kingdom in our hearts, that we become a tribe of life, a tribe of joy, peace, kindness, a tribe that is taking ground and seeing others redeemed out of darkness, others that are able to enter this kingdom. Father, make us purposeful about using our time, our treasure, and our talent in everyday life so that your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
I'm going to bless you and send you out. Please go and talk to them. God, thank you for this people. Thank you for this calling. Thank you for your gifts. In your name, Jesus, I bless these people for the work that you have ordained for them. Amen. Have a good week. Go in grace.